Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
God, we thank you you're here with us this morning. We give you space to move amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Hey, why don't you grab a seat across the room? I'm not going to be too long this morning because I'm not actually our main preacher, but I do want to set up this morning's message. We're taking over the service from youth camp and I want to, I guess, set the stage for our speaker this morning. A speaker we had at camp who shared her story and honestly had such an amazing impact. So I feel like I'm doing like a little teaser there. I don't know. I'll honor her properly in a minute. Hey, one encounter with God can change everything in your life. One encounter with God can change everything. And maybe in a day like this where we speak about camp so much, you might be like me and sometimes be like, why does it seem to happen at youth camps? Like, and perhaps, I mean, somehow I'm still going on them, but perhaps like me, you're too old to be at a camp for teenagers. I've missed out. I don't get that opportunity to be in that environment. I've missed out on my chance to go to youth camp, and it seems like youth camp is the place where people's lives are changed, but I'm not there. So I guess that's for the young people, not for me. But this morning I want to set up with a couple stories, with my story and with a story from scripture before we hear from our preacher this morning, that actually all of us can have an encounter with God. It's not limited to a camp. It's not limited to when we have tents and slime, right? It's not limited to those moments. See, my story begins with an encounter with God at just 7 years old. 7 years old. See, I walked into a church service like I did every other weekend. See, my family always had me in church. I found out recently that at 8 days old, I was at a church board meeting. Like I was, I think, born into the church. I mean, don't worry. I didn't have voting rights back then, but I was there. I've been in church my whole life, and growing up as a kid, that's what church was. I'd go to church. I'd go to the kids program and I'd learn Bible stories and I'd try and memorize a Bible verse to get a Mars bar and I'd try and beat my friends at dodgeball and that was church for me until one day I had an encounter with God that made it all real. If I'm honest with you this morning, church, I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't ready for it. I was just doing what I did every week, attending church, because that's what we did. I was just in the same room I was always in. But there was something different that morning that changed my life. Now, I don't know, it wasn't just because we had a guest speaker, but he did carry an anointing. This guest speaker was visiting that particular weekend. In his day job, he was like a doctor. He healed people with medicine, but he also had a gift on his life to see people healed in the miraculous, that he would pray for people and God would heal them with a supernatural touch of power. And as a 7-year-old boy in the same room I was always in, this speaker said, "Hey, if you would like prayer for asthma, come to the front." And 7-year-old me, before my parents could even know what was happening, I was taken off down the aisle. I ran from the back of the room, probably because I was, I don't know, being loud and mucking around during the service at the back somewhere. But I listened to this invitation to come forward for prayer. And at the front of that church room, when a man prayed for me, God met me. He prayed for me, and as he placed his hand on my head, a wave rushed through my body. I could taste it. As a 7-year-old, I knew what the medication for asthma was like. I'd spent many nights in hospital with asthma, and this wave tasted like Ventolin. And at 7 years old, I knew I was being healed of asthma. I knew it. And from that day, I've never once had another asthma attack. I've never suffered with it. In fact, it's probably led to me being one of the most competitive people I know, because I'm no longer limited by a lung capacity. I put that to good use at camp, don't worry. But at 7 years old, one moment, I didn't actually walk through the doors ready for it. I didn't come in going, today's the day I'm going to be healed of asthma. I never thought that in my life. But God had a plan for me that day. And He met me right there and right then. You see, a few weeks after that, someone else was talking at church and they gave the gospel message. They let me know, they let everyone there know that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a blameless life. He paid the price for our mistakes on a cross where they crucified Him and He died. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead, defeating the sin and shame of our life. And you see, when the preacher uttered these simple words that Jesus loves you, that's why He did it. At 7 years old, I understood it for the first time. I know Jesus loves me. He healed me of asthma. It was like it became real for me. It was a real encounter. I couldn't deny what had happened to me. And so in that moment, I received Jesus and I was saved at 7 years old. One encounter can change everything in your life. It's not limited to a youth camp. It's not limited to particular environments. I believe that our God is personal, which means He knows you. He knows exactly who you are and what it is that you need. He's personal. He's not interested in us coming and joining a dead religion. He's interested with a real and personal encounter with people. And that we would have a real relationship with a living God. This morning, I just want to point us to the life of a man who was no stranger to encountering God, the life of Moses in the scripture. See, Moses has some pretty amazing, if you were to rank of all time the greatest encounters with God, I reckon Moses has got a few in there. I mean, the burning bush, his first encounter with God, he's walking past a bush, it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And it's like, that's interesting. And he approaches it and God speaks to him with an audible voice from the fire. That's a pretty impressive encounter. Like, I've not had that one yet. I don't know about you. But Moses, this is the moment that captivated his life. This encounter with a living God takes a man who's a shepherd in the wilderness and turns him into someone who leads an entire nation out of slavery. That's a pretty transformative encounter. One encounter with God could change his life. See, Moses, look at his other encounters. There's the moment he's on a mountain and God speaks to him, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. These things not only governed their people, but have governed nations for all of human history since. Our own nation included. Where does our morality and law come from if you trace it back to the Ten Commandments? It's shaped entire cultures and nations. That's a pretty impressive encounter. One encounter with God could change everything. I mean, Moses seems to be this guy, but I want to focus on this scripture. It's in Exodus 33 from verse 7 to 11. It says, it was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, the son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. I love this picture of encounter. Moses, the place where he always met with God, the tent of meeting. He would come in and God would descend in a cloud and meet with him. And all the people knew that Moses was encountering God. And they would see from afar off and they would worship God too, but they were afraid to be close. They were afraid to be close. I have three simple ideas for us this morning as we get ready to hear a story of encounter that I know will touch your heart. Three simple ideas about encounter. God meets us in the place where we make space for him. If you don't have space in your life, where will God meet you? That's why youth camps have encounters. It's because teenagers have scheduled 3 days to go meet with him. It's not just because we're on a fancy site. It's not because, I mean, the food was amazing. And maybe it was because of the food. I don't know. Let's just be real. You don't hear that about camp food very often, those cheers. Right? It's not because of anything really. It's that we made space for God. People prepared to encounter God. Yes, we had ministers and speakers, but what have they done? They've spent weeks or months preparing for what God's got to say for young people. They made space to encounter him. And the good news is this morning, you've come to church. You actually have made space this morning. Maybe this is the first step. Just a little bit of space in your life is all God needs for a real touch. A real moment. A real moment. We need to make space for God. The second thing Moses did, he eliminated all the distractions. If you see Moses' story, he goes from shepherd to leading a whole nation. And if you actually read it, the weight of that nation begins to crush him. Like the weight, people line up all day from sunrise to sunset to meet with Moses so he can tell them what to do. And it's overwhelming. There's too many people. He's called to lead the nation, but it's not working right. Fortunately, he has a father-in-law, Jethro, who gives him some advice. It shifts the strategy. Moses realizes this is good advice from God, that I need to listen to my father-in-law. And eventually, he eliminates the distractions that have his time. It's actually this verse we read in chapter 33 is after he's eliminated distraction. He's removed the need to be all day in front of the people. He's eliminated distraction. I wonder what the distraction is that's trying to rob you of an encounter with God. For sake of time, final one. See, the people that were there at the same time of Moses actually had the same invitation that Moses did to meet with God many times. God said, come, bring the people and meet with me. But often the response is, but the people were afraid. And they said to Moses, you go meet with God on our behalf. We'll stay here. Church, don't let a fear of encountering God. What if he says this? What if he speaks to me in that area of my life? What if it looks a bit uncomfortable? What if I have to stand up? What if I have to put up a hand? Don't let fear rob you from the encounter that God has for you. Don't let any fear rob you from what God's got for you. Like I said, I'm just here to set up another speaker this morning. We have Nicole coming to share this morning. See, Nicole came and spoke to us on our first night at camp, and she shared her story. And her story broke open so many young hearts of what it looks like to encounter God. And for sake of time, I'm just going to invite you up. Come on up. Can we welcome Nicole?
And that youth camp was my first youth camp. So I know that I'm meant to share my story, but can I take a minute to share just a couple of more about youth camp? what I saw floored me. Put me to shame, really. I saw kids get off this bus. I thought, oh, I don't know if they want to be here. But what I saw was day one, girls get saved. Yeah. Day two, they're learning how to pray together. Yeah. To me, that's a miracle. I'm hitting Josiah going, do you see this? What is happening? And he's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, this is huge, because that is what is going to change our city. Yeah. Because these teenagers are the ones who are going to lead us, and they are not afraid to learn how to pray. They're sitting in a circle, holding hands, spurring one another on. One goes, I don't know what to say. They're like, don't worry. Just give it a go. We should be more like that. Don't worry, just give it a go. Save one day, praying the next day. And I also saw a young man who knew nobody at camp. When was the last time we did something or went somewhere where we knew nobody? This young man went first night. He wanted to go home. Fair, I get that. It's a lot, and he knows nobody. But he stayed. But he stayed. And then he lined up for an hour to get prayer. No? Anyone else with me? This is huge. We as adults don't do that. So I have been, look, yeah, I'm still riding the woo. Like, this is so exciting. It was youth camp, my first youth camp, that I'm so proud to say that I went to youth camp. But I know Josiah and Bella have thanked so many people, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you because you have set time aside. You have stepped out in such faith to create that space that you were just talking about. So I am so grateful as a mum of two young boys who will one day get to encounter God at a youth camp because you stepped out and made a way. So I'm very, give it up. Yeah, I'm very grateful. So when I was first asked to speak at youth camp, when Bella came to me, it was like I had heard it before. I remembered that God had actually told me that I would be speaking at a youth camp. So I went back, found my notes, and I'm not going to lie, I actually thought I may have ripped it out because I didn't believe it. But I did it, and I went home and I found it. I didn't know when I had written it down or anything like that, but I found it. The 24th of June, 2022, I write, God, I think you're telling me I'm going to speak at a youth camp. I even wrote, lol, and all of these things. But I'm writing it anyway. I highly recommend writing down what God says to you. But then I didn't know when that was going to be, and I didn't know it was going to be an encounter camp. And I've written, it's going to be a defining moment for those who come. So when I see these kids get off that bus, the parents have signed them up, their friends have, you know, invited them along. I see that God has called them there because he wants them there and he wants them to encounter him. Now, whilst he didn't quite tell me I would be here as well, I think your Heavenly Father knows when it's a little bit too much, and I probably would have ripped that out. No. But he knew. He knew I was going to be here, which makes me think he knew you were going to be here. That maybe if you are new, if this is your first time, if your kids have done the opposite and forced you along this morning, if you haven't been here in a long time, I believe that you're here because God wants you here and he wants you to encounter him. So my story isn't just for teenagers. Your story is for anyone. Your story is a witness of Jesus to any heart, no matter the age or generation, that is ready to receive it. So I was honest and I was vulnerable at youth camp, and I'm going again. So I need you. Are you with me? I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be vulnerable. So for me, like many in this room, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not grow up going to church. It took me 29 years to surrender and give my heart to God. You will hear that the enemy tried to take so much from me. And I mean so much from me. But we know that if you invite Jesus into your life, if you keep looking to him, if you don't look left or right, if you keep following him and chasing him down, it doesn't have to be that way for you. So only a few years ago, before sharing my story, I would have apologized for it. The irony of apologizing for a story that set me free. But I would have said something like, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's a lot, it's a bit dark." But now, because of Jesus, I say, "Hey, can I tell you a story?" Because if I diminish my weakness, then I diminish what Jesus has done in my life. And we read in 2 Corinthians that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So my story may start out dark, but stay with me. It turns to light. And here's why. John 1, verses 4 to 5. In him was life, Jesus, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That is my story, where the light of Jesus wins and the power of darkness loses. So this darkness that I'm talking about, it was my normal. Even younger than these guys, I had this innate sense of being unworthy. I was unnecessary. My parents, my older sister, they didn't need me. In fact, they would actually be better off without me. I didn't belong, even as a little girl. But I grew up in a loving home with no obvious reason to feel that way. But I remember feeling so indifferent about the world. Even then, my life felt meaningless. And maybe some of you can relate. At some point, you asked yourself, what is the meaning of my life? But as I got to these guys' age, and just like they are trying to discover who they are in the world, I was only discovering that those thoughts of being so unwanted and unnecessary appeared to be true. Would it actually matter if I didn't exist? Sure, mum and dad, they'd be sad for a moment, but they'd move on. They'd get to the other side where life was better without their daughter. What was hard about it all, though, was at the same time, I had a great life. I did well at school. I had great friends. I traveled in high school. I met my now husband at 18. Praise God. We celebrated the good things in life. But we all know you can be one way on the inside and very different on the outside. Again, maybe some of you can relate. But in all of life's goodness, still the lie shouted. It didn't whisper. It shouted in my mind, "You do not belong. Your life, it's okay. But remember, your parents, your sister, your friends, your boyfriend, they'd still be better off without you. You're not like everyone else. They have purpose." Because who knows that I would never speak these things about my friends, about my husband. Of course, there's a plan for their life. Of course, they're awesome. But not me. So, why are you here? The thought came, was there a way out? And I'm going to say the exact same thing that I said to these guys at youth camp, because the enemy does not discriminate. He does not care how old you are. if you have ever, or if you ever think that thought, is there a way out? I'm here to tell you this morning, that is not from God. He has good plans for your life. And some in this room may not realize that this Bible that we talk about is full of promises, and God does not go back on his word. So we read in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So you, no matter the age, you are God's workmanship, and he has plans for your life, 15 or 50. He has good plans for your life that he prepared for you even before you were born. You are loved. You are chosen. You are called by God with a purpose for your life. But then when life does what it does, and it gets hard, we have our hearts broken. We don't understand. We experience pain. We experience grief. When it feels like we can't go on, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Another promise. He doesn't revert back from that. So when life gets hard, when you are confused, when the plans that you thought were the plans don't seem to be the way, when your prayers feel unanswered, when the grief feels like it's taking your own breath away, God is with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God promises to always be with you. So the only way is in this life that you have been chosen and created for. But for me, over those years, I learned without even realizing it that my thoughts had to be my own. That if I think something, that must mean it's true. That's who I am. And that is not the case. And we know that the more you think something, the faster it goes down that pathway. So the more that I thought that I was unwanted, the more that I hated myself, the faster that thought would come to my mind. So what you think about yourself matters. What you say aloud over yourself matters. So it's really important to know what God thinks about you and what God says about you. It's important to know the truth so you can recognize the lie. Because your identity and your value is found in nothing and no one else but Jesus. That's just not a nice sentiment for youth kids. Speak life over yourself. Not knowing the power of that, not doing this, not knowing the danger of speaking hate aloud over myself as an adult, nearly cost me my life. So we do not partner with the lies of the enemy. The Bible tells us that we don't even have to agree with them. Every thought that comes to your mind is not of you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So any thought that tries to rise up against what God says about you, and what God says is that he loves you, that you are chosen, that you are called, that he would pay the ultimate price for you. Anything that tries to come up against that knowledge, don't allow it to stay. Don't allow it to linger. Rather, what does it say? We destroy it. And we destroy the lies by first seeing them for what they are and then asking them to leave in the name of Jesus. And then by speaking God's truth over yourself, which is always going to be life. God's truth will always be life. So speak life over yourself, because the Bible tells us that Jesus came into this world to give you life and life to the full. These opinions, they don't have to be from other people. They can be occurring in your thought life. I did not realize this. So the thoughts of being unwanted stayed. But then an encounter. 6 years ago, an encounter where I could see Jesus for who he was. An encounter that brought hope to my heart. An encounter that led me to think, maybe when the Bible says that Jesus died for everyone, that could include me. I could be the everyone. Jesus could love me. The power and love of God invades my life on a Sunday morning in church just like this. After going to church for 9 years, I am a slow learner. I gave my heart to God. It felt like Jesus was literally knocking on my heart that morning. Like I said, I had sat in church for years, but that day, something changed. When the pastor said, "Who wants to put their faith in Jesus?" It was like in that moment I realized God sees me. He doesn't just see me, he knows me completely. And guess what? He doesn't think I'm worthless. Rather, he loves me. Truth came into my heart. It came into my mind. Jesus died for me so I could live, so I could be in eternity with him and bring eternity down, bring heaven down and save me from the hell that I was living in on earth. I didn't need to feel ashamed. I didn't need to do anything actually. Just as I was, he chose me. And just as you are here on a Sunday service, just like I was, he chooses you. And I will say that that was a moment in time for me, but it actually wasn't just a moment. It was a moment prepared. Yes, by God, but it was also a moment prepared by the prayers that had been prayed for me for 10 years. Prayers that had been prayed by a husband for 10 years, by my in-laws, by I'm sure their church and all the people that I don't even know that were interceding for my life, for my soul for 10 years. So I'm here to tell you this morning, that person that you're praying for, don't stop praying. When it seems far off, it's a reminder for myself. Hey, my mum, she will be saved one day because he did it for me. Don't stop praying, because I am so glad that they didn't stop for me. So it's from that first encounter that I got baptized, that I joined a connect group. I was now surrounded by community. So many of you in this room spoke life over me, spoke God's truth about me. I started reading my Bible and one encounter, "Lord, I give you my heart," gave me life. But like I said, I'm being honest. As someone who had lived their entire life feeling unworthy, feeling unwanted, in a moment they give their life to God, they have a renewed sense of hope. You can just imagine how large the target on my back was. Up until that day that changed everything, an encounter with God that changed everything, the enemy would have thought he had me. How can I stand here and not tell you to come to the one who loves you? Come to the one who can deliver you. Come to the one who sets you free. Don't hold back. 2 Corinthians 3:17, a lot of us know it well. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And the Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. But during that time for me, I had obviously become a Christian. And to be honest, the feeling of unworthiness got worse. The dark got darker. The enemy ramped up, and it felt like that because there will always be a battle for your life. Your life is of great value that Jesus paid the ultimate price for. And the Bible talks about putting on the armor of God for a reason. It's not a physical battle. It's a battle for your soul. But do we need to be afraid of the battle? No. Because we have everything we need in Jesus. Everything we need to win the battle is found in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. It is through Jesus that you overcome. So I had given my heart to God, but I hadn't yet learned what I'm telling you, that because of Jesus, I could actually win the fight. I felt ashamed that now, as a Christian, I still struggled feeling this way. I'm in Connect Group. I'm on the door serving. I raise my hands in worship. But I hate something that God Himself created. So in my pain, on the darkest days, I thought, now is the time to leave the equation. My husband could meet. He was meant to marry. My boys could have the mum that they were meant to have. When I tell you the enemy tries to take everything, I mean it, because he's not just going after you. He's going after the generations and generations of generations of people who have come to know Jesus. Hey, but God, but God, but God, John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. That verse wasn't true once. It was true again and again and again. So 4 years ago, another encounter. The power and love of God invades my life, this time in my lounge room. A day where I say enough. Enough of the torment. I decide to surrender the pain that I was feeling, and I declare that the enemy will not have the final say in my life. I call on the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. One encounter can change everything. And we know that these encounters, like we've just been speaking about, they aren't reserved for a Sunday. They aren't reserved for when the worship team, as great as they are, leads you in worship. The Holy Spirit is with you wherever you are. So for me, kneel down on my lounge room floor, I pray Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I call on the name of Jesus, and that is where He came to save and encounter me again. The fullness and the power of His love overwhelms me so much that no lie of unworthiness can remain. It left once and for all. And you know, Jesus's name, the very meaning of His name is to save, is to rescue. And that is what He did for me. Jesus set me free, and shame was gone. And that encounter was real, and God made sure I knew it. Very often I would have these pulled muscles in my neck, just a constant pain in my neck. So on the floor, in tears, in a mess, I pray this: Jesus, what has just happened in my mind needs to be as real to me as if You were to heal my neck right now. I turn my neck, it is healed. God would make himself known in such a way to reassure me, to physically heal me like a heavenly father would, that what has just occurred in my mind was real. I had an encounter with God that would change everything. And that overwhelming love of God that chases you down is what he has for you. And God can use many things to speak to us. In fact, he can use anything that he likes. And I want to read to you what came on my TV. The very first thing that I see after praying are these lyrics. Hallelujah, you have saved me. When I thought I lost me, you know where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces and put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. If you think that you believe in a God that is far away, I'm here to tell you this morning, through this Holy Spirit, he is so close to you. He is a personal God that he would choose the lyric video edition on YouTube to speak to me so I see it written on my screen. As it turns out, that is one of the most famous worship songs. It never came up on my suggestion list. It never came up on my history. I didn't even look to see what the song was called until recently. Why? Because God himself was telling me it was done. You are free. I am the one who defends you, and nothing can stand against the power and the love of God. Your life holds great value, and that same God defends you. That same God heals you. The same God, if you allow him into your life, will set you free. So from then on, things changed. I no longer spoke bad about myself. I was excited for the future. I would talk to God about the plans that he had for my life. I would go to Connect Group, and instead of leaving and hating on myself, instead of sitting in the car afterwards thinking, "You idiot, why would you say those things? They don't even want you there." I became confident in who God was calling me to be. I no longer felt guilt. I no longer felt shame. And when the lies try and rise again, I ask them to leave and I tell a friend, because I can see them for what they are. But most importantly, I actually believe what God said about me. And this is what I believed. Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And I will say that verse, that's not just for your baby's nursery on the wall. I don't know why we do that sometimes. We box these verses into certain places. That verse, to somebody who doesn't know that, is the most powerful thing that they could ever hear in their life. Just last month, an old school friend, his dad, he took his life. A man in his 60s. And I so wish that his soul knew full well that he was fearfully and wonderfully made by a heavenly Father who loved him. But I also became obedient to God. Well, I try. When God asks me to do something, I do it. Like, hey, Nicole, I want you to get up and share your story in front of everyone. Okay, God. Because he cares for me. And even when I don't understand, he is for me and he is for you, even when you don't understand. And we need a bold generation of young people who know the call of God on their life and then walk in it and are obedient to it. But even like last week, Pastor Gary said, we all have grace and gifts from God. We need a people of all generations to walk out and to know the call of God on their life and say yes to what God is asking. We need you to walk out yours. But do you need to feel like I was or be in despair to encounter God? Absolutely not. Our God is one of blessings. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is worthy of praise and fun and enjoyment, and He longs to bless you. And we see people overcome with joy and laughter in the presence of God. But on my best day and on your best day, in family life, at work, in ministry, when you're on that mountaintop season and it is oh so sweet, you need Jesus. You need a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. So don't hold back from the altar because everything is going right. Come encounter Him, because Jesus is the prize. No matter the season, and your mountaintop or in your valley. So because of God's kindness, I've had many encounters with Him, all different, but one thing has been the same. I positioned myself to receive. I positioned myself for salvation. I was in church hearing the word of God. I positioned myself for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I prayed, Jesus, would you transport my prayers to heaven? And He gave me a heavenly language to get them there. Ask God. And on that day, I positioned myself to be set free. I came to my knees and I had the word of God on my heart. And we read of a powerful encounter in Scripture demonstrating what happens when we reach for Jesus. The story of the woman with the issue of blood found in Luke 8:43 shows us the power of positioning yourself to receive from God. And I love how it reads in the New Living Translation. So from verse 43, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of His robe. Immediately the blood stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, and catch this, someone deliberately touched me. For I felt healing power go out of me. And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of Him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched Him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, He said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. In 2025, it's probably so hard for us to comprehend or understand the risk that she took to find herself in the position to receive from Jesus. Her story was one of shame. She was a complete outcast in society. If anybody else even touched her, they would be unclean. And she's pressing through a crowd? She couldn't be in her own family anymore. She couldn't go up to worship. She was looked down upon with disgust and judgment. And imagine the crowd as Peter says, what do you mean, Jesus? What a silly question. Everybody is touching you. But we see that Jesus knows the one. Jesus knows the one in the room that is deliberately, intentionally going, no, 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 I need Jesus. And I am going to reach for Him no matter what it takes. He stops for the one and He knows whose heart is reaching for Him, especially those who even feel unworthy to do so. But an encounter with God changed everything for her. Jesus didn't just heal her. He redeemed her. He restored her. He called her daughter. He gave her life purpose. And that is what He has for you. But we see her not just receive. We see her respond. Verse 47. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched Him and that she had been immediately healed. Like all of us do, she could have tried to run off. She could have stood there and remained silent. She could remain in her seat. But we see when Jesus calls you, you answer. And I can't help but think, what if she hadn't? What if she let that thought of being unworthy, of being unwanted, which was a real reality for her, what if she let the fear of what people thought stop her? What if she let shame hold her back? Would she have stayed the same? Most likely. So I ask you, are you willing to press through the crowd? Are you willing to let go of fear of what people may think? Are you willing to leave the lies behind and reach for Jesus today? And I can't explain it all, but there is an undeniable something that happens when we respond to God in the natural. I know, and plenty of you have seen me step forward, raise a hand, come to an altar. And it's because it shows God that I love Him. It shows God that I want to encounter Him, just like God showed us by sending Jesus into the world. So to close, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. So because of Him, because of Jesus, I will call on Him as long as I live, over and over and over again. And that is my prayer for you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.